This is KUT.
Austin.
Stop.
It's Morning Edition on KUT 90.5. I'm Nazia Hamdan. Kimberly Keaton is tired.
I'm one of the go-to people for Black History Now in Austin. Get phone calls all the time. You know, we want you to talk about the history of Blackness. But even I get tired of telling the same story over and over and over and over. Even I get tired.
Keaton is a librarian and archivist of African American history at the Austin History Center. We called her to get some context about Austin's racial past amid protests against police violence and systemic racism. She's tired, but she doesn't let that stop her. Because Keaton tells me if we don't confront our past, we can't deal with our present.
I think what happened to George Floyd, it broke people. And I believe that, you know, what's taking place is not just about police brutality. It's about history. And, you know, from the beginnings of Black history in Austin, it's never been a history about the progression of Black people. It's always been about holding people of color back. You look at that era of UT Austin being built, it wiped out an entire community, Wheatville. Then you look at where Black people were placed in regards to East Austin. You look at the different plans that were set in place, and none of it was for the progression of Black people.
During the recent protests these past few days, there were times when crowds of people climbed onto the I-35 highway, shutting it down to traffic. And on social media, you'd see many people talk about the symbolism of those moments, given the fact that I-35 acted as this physical divide between white and Black populations in the city. And, you know, as an archivist, as somebody who studies the history of this city, did you make that connection? Like, what was your reaction to seeing so many protesters on that highway?
I think that it will always be, for Austin, it will always be the underlining factor that you can never forget what has happened in Austin, Texas, as far as the racial divide. And for that freeway, highway to still be standing, it will always be a symbol of what happened in the past, which brings us to the present, which will take us through the future if things do not change. It will always be a symbol of what happened and what has happened and what is continuing to happen. And I think that is for every state capital, city, county in these United States, that there is something that is always going to remind you of what has happened to African-American people specifically, because we're the only group of people who have been marginalized since 1619. And, you know, I want to share this quote by Ella Baker, who was an organizer during the Civil Rights Movement. She says, "In order for us as poor and oppressed people to become part of a society that is meaningful, the system under which we now exist has to be radically changed. It means facing a system that does not lend itself to your needs and devising means by which you change that system." And I think that is so relevant to the times that we're living in right now.
Knowing the history of racism in Austin, you know, I'm curious how you'd characterize this moment. You know, how would you describe this moment to someone like me asking about it 100 years from now?
That is a great question. I wouldn't describe it to you. I don't think I would be able to describe it to you. I would hope that I would be able to tell you what changed.
It's hard not to hear the emotion in your voice. I want to just talk to you as an individual right now, you know, not as an archivist, not as a historian, as a Black woman in Austin and in America. watching what's happening and how you're feeling watching what's happening.
You know, my eyes are swelling up right now because far too long, you know, African-American people have had to hold our race on our backs. And when you day in and day out watch Black people being murdered in real time, like, I had never seen anything like that ever in my life. It broke my spirit in so many different ways. And I'm on, you know, this high of realizing that I was just named one of the top African-American movers and shakers by the American Library Association and Library Journal. I just, you know, received a letter stating that I have been accepted into a PhD program. You know, in the midst of me, you know, receiving these accolades for the hard work that I've done and, you know, these doors being opened for me by my ancestors, I'm, you know, I'm getting these things, and then I have to look at what is taking place in America, and I'm able to celebrate, but then, yeah, I have to cry. It's an unbelievable feeling.